to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 in your Bibles this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 in your Bibles this morning. Tonight we're going to be preaching from Joshua. Of course, we've been going through the book of Joshua on Sunday mornings, but we're going to continue that tonight. So be here and in your place at 6 o'clock. But Lord, put this on my heart. Last night I was over here praying, just was getting ready to preach. And Lord said, I want you here tonight. So 2 Timothy chapter number 4 in your Bibles this morning. And notice there in verse number 8. Actually, let's read verse number 6, and then we'll go down to verse number 8. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Father, use your word this morning in our hearts and our lives. Challenge us. Father, I pray today that we would walk away with a purpose statement for life. Lord, as we look at Paul's purpose, as we look at his life, I pray that we would leave convicted and, Lord, striving to go forward for you. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I was talking to somebody here at our church a couple days ago, and we were talking about a certain book that was written, and this guy told me, he said, preacher, he said, I've been going through it, and he said the thrust of this book is the importance of writing your purpose statement for your life. And the boy, that kind of caught me by surprise. I had not really heard that before, the purpose statement. He said, but man, he said, it's wonderful. He said, I sat down and he said, I was just going through the book. He said, the writer encouraged me to figure out what is my purpose for life. Why am I here? Why am I living? What do I desire to accomplish with my life? Of course, we know that Bible verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so he just was talking about that. I remember when I was in Bible college, as I was working on preaching, and I was taking a class called, I think it was Preaching 101, and then there was expository preaching, then there was evangelistic preaching, and homiletics was one of the classes I took. But back all those years ago, when I began to develop sermons, the teacher, Brother Surrett, told us, he said, listen, he said, here's how you outline a sermon. He said, number one, you come up with your title. And he said, it doesn't have to be flashy. He said, have a title. Have a summarization of what you're speaking on. He said, number two, he said, you better have a text. He said, you make sure your message is Bible-based. And then he said, the third thing you put down is your purpose statement. Why are you preaching what you're preaching on? And you look at my notes this morning, it has a purpose statement. All my sermons I've ever preached, there's always been a purpose statement because of Brother Surrett telling me to have that purpose statement. But I think about purpose. You know, why do we do what we do? I was talking to a man a couple days ago that is getting ready to open up a yoga studio in down in South America, a yoga surfing studio. And he's like, it's always been my dream, wealthy individual, and multi-millionaire, but we were just talking, and I said, tell me your story. He said, well, he said, you know, back in 2005, he said, I was broke, working part-time, and just frustrated. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I met somebody that introduced me to real estate, and they taught me how to flip houses and how to make money in real estate. He said, I jumped in full board. He said, man, I just went crazy with it. And he said, it has boomed and blossomed. He said, I'm getting ready to retire here in January. He said, I'm going to open this surf shop. He said, I'm where I want to be. But I said, let me, and we just started to talk about that. And he said, how did you get to that goal? I said, how did you get to the place where you are opening your surf shop and your yoga studio? He said, Steve, he said, back in 2005, broke as a skunk. He said, I sat down and I wrote the purpose statement for my business. This is where I want to get to. This is the boat I want to buy. This is the surfboard I want to have. This is the house I want to live at. He said, I had a purpose statement for my business. And he said, I've accomplished all my goals because of the purpose statement. And we were just talking about purpose statements. And you guys, as you come to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul gives his final purpose statement.
He said in verse number 8, he said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Hey, Christian, can I say this morning, the purpose of our life is not to have a bunch of money in the bank. The purpose of my life is not to open a surf camp down in South America. The purpose of my life is not to have a big old house and on the Florida beach and just hanging out and drinking Coca-Colas all day. The purpose of my life is to one day hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And as you go through the Word of God, there are certain men, there are certain ladies that live their life with that driving purpose and that driving focus. I want Jesus Christ to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And as Paul comes to the end of his life, as he comes to the end of his ministry, Paul was able to say, "I've accomplished my purpose with my life. I am ready to see Jesus Christ face to face." And I wonder this morning, friend, will that be the case when you take your last breath? One of my dear friends, Pastor Bob Barker, up in Fairmont, West Virginia, passed away this week. And I love Pastor Bob. He took us to one of the best Italian restaurants in all of America. It's called Murals. They're in Fairmont, West Virginia. You say, "I didn't know anything good came from West Virginia." Well, there's good Italian food, all right? I promise you that. But you know, Pastor Bob passed away. And a man, a godly man. And I truly believe now, as he's in the presence of God, I believe he heard Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Why? Because he had a motivating factor. I want to please the Lord with my life. Can I ask you this morning, what is your purpose? Why are you here? Let me ask you, Huntsville Bible Baptist Church, why are we here? Are we here just to meet? Is this just a social club? Is this just a religious formality that we go through on Sunday mornings? What is our purpose? What is our driving statement? In your mind, go back with you to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And in our mind, just get the vision. Here we are. And men, we're back in Rome all those years ago. Of course, you've seen the pictures of Rome. You know, men, they had the Colosseums, and they had the different, you know, religious centers. But they also had an awful dungeon. They also had an awful prison, the Mamertine prisons there. You can go and visit them today. In the Mamertine prison sits a short man that has been just marred with his life, just has been scarred, has been used of God in a powerful way. And we make our way down those steps to that Mamertine prison. There we go to a certain cell. Oh boy, all the other cells are people getting ready to be executed because of their crimes against Rome. And man, they're doom and gloom. The lawyers are there telling them there's no more hope. You're going to die. And then we meet prisoner number one, and he's just despondent and despaired. The next one, same deal all throughout that jail. And all of a sudden we come to cell number 10, where Paul the Apostle is at. Man, we walk into that dark, damp dungeon where it's cold and where it's lonely. And there we see Paul with the joy of the Lord. There we see Paul with the anticipation and that excitement. And there we see Paul as he has his pen in hand and he's writing this letter. And we say, "Paul, why are you so happy? Paul, why are you excited? Why do you have an extra step in your, extra bounce in your step? Why are you where you're at today?" And poor Paul would be able to say him, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 8, he said, "I'm excited because heaven's awaiting me, and one day soon they're going to take me out of here. They're going to chop my head off. I'm going to die a martyr's death for the cause of Christ. But I want you to know, when they take my head off, I'll enter the presence of Jesus Christ, and my Savior will say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Hey, Paul, what is your purpose for life? Number one, Paul would say, my purpose statement for life is to hear the Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so if that's our purpose statement, if that's why we're here, if that's our driving force, how do we get to that place? How do we get to that place where one day Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Number two, you go to the purpose statement. How do you get there? It says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, he said, "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." What is the purpose statement? How do you get to the "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Number one, you've got to keep your eyes upon the Lord. He desired a reward. He desired a crown. Let me remind you, one day we will all stand before Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." It says in verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Hey, understand, one day you and I will stand before Jesus Christ. By the way, churches as a whole, preachers as a whole, have done a disservice toward the judgment seat of Christ. because the illustration that is given by so many, I've heard it mentioned on television preachers, by just different people in conversation, they teach, well, when you die, everybody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and everybody's going to receive a trophy. Everybody's going to get a prize. Everybody's going to get a crown. Josiah's baseball coach texted me a couple days ago, and he said, what's Josiah's number? I texted him back, number 13. I said, why'd you need that? He said, we're working on trophies. Let me just say something about Josiah's team, all right? When I played baseball growing up, there was two teams that got trophies, the champions and the runners-up, right? The third-place people didn't get trophies. The fourth-place team didn't get trophies. Let me just say, Josiah is a great ball player. He hit a home run, what was it, Tuesday or Thursday? Man, he's a slugger, all right? He's the man. He's Big Poppy in Little League, all right? But Josiah's team, and Josiah, I hope you don't get offended, but your team stinks. All right? I'm just going to tell you that, all right? You guys have a hard time in the field, and now he's all mad. I'm in the doghouse, all right? But you know what bothers me? That everybody's going to get a trophy on Josiah's team. Let me just say, they don't deserve a trophy because how many games have you won? One or two?
Oh, five.
Oh, five. Okay. He's won five, okay? About one or two, something like that, all right? Two, one, two, five, it's all the same, all right? But man, they're not winning 80% of the games. They're not the champions. They're not the strongest team. But, you know, what do they take? You've seen the commercial where that dad, you know, the kid gets the trophy and the participation trophy, right? And dad's like, you know, he rips that thing off. He likes, you know, he writes something else on it. You know, I think about that, the reality with this generation. Everybody's a winner, right? You know, everybody gets a blue ribbon. You know, everybody, good job, you're an all-star. Even though you sat the bench the whole season, right? Everybody is, you know, everybody gets a trophy, right? Let me just say, that's not going to be the case when I die. That's not going to be the case with every person. You know what? We're all going to stand before God on our own. And the Bible says that we're going to receive the reward for the things done in our body, whether it be good or bad. Let me just say, friend, if you live for the devil and you live for the world, and boy, you consume with the temporal instead of the eternal, let me just say, you're not going to hear Jesus Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It says in verse number 10, it says, for demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world, and it's departed from Thessalonica. You know what the reverends of the day and the Bible colleges of the day and the seminaries, they would say, well, everybody gets the same reward. Hey, let me just say something. Paul and Demas aren't getting the same award in heaven. Hey, Demas quit on God. He quit on the will of God. Lot and Paul, they're not getting the same reward. Hey, friend, let me just say, you and I, if we're not found faithful, we will stand before Jesus Christ ashamed, and we'll have nothing to give to our Savior. And so, Paul, what's your motivating factor? It's that way, one day when I stand before God, I'm not ashamed that I would stand before God with nothing to give to Him, but my desire is that I would run faithful so that I could hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So how do I get there? He said, number one, you better keep your eyes upon the Lord. You better keep your focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him to be your Savior. He's got to be your Lord. It can't be your parents' Lord. It can't be your parents' Savior. It can't be your church's God. It's got to be your God. We're going through Hebrews chapter 11 on Wednesday nights. And by faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, Joshua, these men of God and ladies of God personalized their faith. They made the decision and they made the choice to trust God, to trust Christ to be their Savior. I wonder this morning, is He your Savior? There in the book of Acts, chapter number 9, we could go back there in that prison, and we could say, Paul, what motivates you? How can you get to that purpose statement? And Paul would say, all those years ago in Acts 9, I was going down that Damascus road. I was avid in my persecution of the church, throwing them in jail, persecuting them, signing their death warrant, signed Stephen's death warrant. Hey, I was against the will of God. He said, but I was going down that Damascus road, and all of a sudden that light shone down from heaven. And Jesus said to me, why persecutest thou me, Saul? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul would say, there on that day I looked up to heaven and said, Jesus, who art he said, Lord, who art thou? And who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And there on that day he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What was the changing focus? What was the change in Paul's life? It was when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on that Damascus road. And his life was radically changed. Why? Because it was a personal relationship established with the Savior. Can I ask you this morning? Can you go back to that Damascus road in your life? You may not remember the date. You know, you say, well, preacher, that was years ago. But can you go back to that place? Can you go back to that? You may not remember the exact day, the date, but you know what? Can you remember the setting? Was it in church? Was it by your bed? Was it nighttime? Was it morning time? Hey, Paul would say there in the book of Acts, he said it was about noonday. He said, man, I'm on my way down that Damascus road. I'm riding that donkey and I'm riding that horse. I'm on my way to persecute Christians. He remembered everything that surrounded it. Hey, can I ask you this morning, can you go back to that place in your life where the Lord became your Savior? Hey, I think about the Lord being a part of Paul's life. He was his Savior. But I think about how he was the focus of his life. There in John 3:30, I love what John the Baptist said. And by the way, you understand, John the Baptist was a man. He was a hero. Everybody was coming to hear John the Baptist preach in the wilderness. Here's a guy wearing weird clothes, eating weird food. He's a hillbilly living out in the wilderness, and everybody's going to hear him preach. Man, all of a sudden here Jesus steps on the scene. Everybody starts following Jesus. Boy, the disciples of John, they came to John the Baptist and they said, John, hey, what about Jesus? Man, he's got all the crowds. Now you're still in the wilderness preaching. Nobody's coming to hear you. I love what John said in John 3:30. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. What was John's focus? His focus was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What was Paul's focus in Philippians 1 verse 20? He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I wonder this morning, child of God, is your purpose statement of life to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Well, in order to reach that statement, in order to one day be laying on your deathbed, getting ready to go home to glory, you got to keep your eyes upon the Lord. I wonder, is the Lord in the forefront of your mind today? Not only was the Lord the purpose statement, but number two, how to get to that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not only must their eyes be upon the Lord, but number two, look in verse number 7. Kind of back up. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So kind of going in reverse. Paul, what was it that kept you going? He said, I have kept the faith. Number the purpose statement, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Steps to reach that. The Lord has got to be the righteous judge of your life. But you know what? You need to know what you believe. Paul, how did you get to the place where you were able to say, well done, thou, here, well done, thou good and faithful servant? He said, because I kept the faith. He said, I've not compromised on the word of God. He said, all those years ago, I grew up in the religion of the day. I grew up learning. He said, but man, I was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I made the Bible my study. He said, I made the faith something that I own, something that I love, something that was a part of my everyday life. Hey, what kept Paul focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ? What kept him focused on the prize? It's the fact that I'm consistently and daily in the faith. I'm in the Word. You know what's going to keep you going for God? You know what's going to keep me on the straight and narrow? You know what's going to keep me loving God and serving God? It's by staying in the Word of God. You know, as I've traveled and preached, it's unfortunate, but I've met many people that have messed up. You know what I'm talking about? You know, man cheated on their wife, committed adultery. Cheated on their husband, committed adultery. You know, they've quit being the teacher, Sunday school teacher, dropped down on church, dropped down in the will of God. I know so many dropouts. Man, I meet them all the time here in Huntsville. You know, knocking on doors, just being out and about, talking to people. So many people that are dropouts. And you know what the common thread is in why people stop living for God? Is because they get away from the faith. They get away from the Word of God. You know, I have not met somebody yet that has been in the Word of God on a daily basis that has made shipwreck of their life. I've not, and there may be some exceptions, but I've not met an individual that has had consistent daily prayer that has just made a huge mess of their life. And boy, you know, messed up like crap. I've not met somebody like that. What happens? Why did Hymenaeus and Alexander hear him? In 1 Timothy chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter number 1, why did they make shipwreck of their life? Because they got away from the faith. Hey, why did Demas quit? Because there came a time in Demas' life where he said, you know what? My focus is not going to be on the faith. My focus is going to be on the love of the world. My focus is going to be on my sin. My focus is going to be on my enjoyments instead of the will of God in my private prayer life. Hey, Paul, what kept you focused on accomplishing your goal for life here in Jesus Christ? Say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It was the faith. It was the Word of God. I was talking to that guy that I mentioned earlier about the yoga shop and the surf company, and he told me this. He said, Pastor, I love it, you know. It doesn't matter who I'm talking to. I'm pastor. I love it, you know. And I go through Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. I'm like, hey, it's pastor. And they're like, what do you want, medium iced coffee, you know, butter pecan, regular cream, one extra squirt. That's it. You know it. So just drive through, stamp my card. Here's my card. You know, it's awesome. Yeah, I love being he said, pastor, I said, how did you accomplish your goals? He said, you know what I did, pastor? He said, every day. He said, I got up. He said, I wrote in my journal, these are the three things I want to accomplish today, and here are the five steps I'm going to take to accomplish those three goals today. He said, then I would go to my office, and he said, I would look at my wall, and he said, you go to my bathroom. He said, first thing, he said, you go to my bathroom. He said, it's messed up looking. He said, there are sticky notes, and there are pictures, and there's stuff all over my bathroom of goals and dreams I have. He said, I put them up all over the place. He said, you go to my office. He said, my walls aren't lined with, you know, Ted Williams playing baseball. They're not lined with pennants. They're not lined with pictures. He said, they're lined with goals that I have. He said, every day, I get up and I look at those goals when I'm brushing my teeth. Every night I go to bed brushing my teeth, I'm looking at those goals. Every day as I'm sitting in my office trying to close another deal, he says, I'm looking at those goals. Consistent reminders of what I want to accomplish in my business. You know what's going to keep you going for God? You know what's going to keep me going for God? It's being consistently in front of the book. In the faith. Studying the faith. Paul, what's your purpose? How did you get to well done, thou good and faithful servant? His eyes were on the Lord. He was focused on the faith. It says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Proverbs 23:23, we preached last week, buy the truth and sell it not. I wonder, are you an individual that's owning your faith, that's owning the truth? Notice number three, statement number three on how to accomplish the one goal to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at verse 7 again. He said, I have fought a good fight. Notice this, I have finished my course, and I've kept the faith. What kept you going, Paul? It was the fact that I had a course to run. He said, I stayed on course. He said, I didn't deviate from it. He said, I didn't get off focus. He said, but I ran the race that God had called me to run. It says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself. By the way, all these seem to be Paul's testimony, right? Here's Paul's testimony in Philippians. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, not 10 things I dabble in. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul, what was your motivation? It was the course that God gave me to run. He said, I finished my course. I'm crossing the finish line. I'm about ready to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I didn't get sidetracked and then fall asleep under an oak tree. I did not say, I stopped for lattes. I didn't say I stopped and, you know, just hung out in the world for a while. No, he wasn't like, remember Terah in the Bible? Remember Abraham's dad, Terah? You remember Terah and Abraham in Genesis 11? They began to make that journey. They left Ur of the Chaldees and they began to wander, to follow God toward the wilderness. You know what the Bible says about Terah? Terah heard the will of God, heard the plan of God for his life to be that pilgrim like Abraham was, but he got sidetracked and he got settled in a town outside of the will of God. You know what Paul said? He didn't say I hung out in the world like Terah did. Notice that I stayed on course. I stayed focused. If that meant I got beat, if that meant I got thrown in jail, if that meant they stoned me and left me for the dead, if that meant I had to stay in the sea for a day and a night hoping to survive, if that meant that one day they'd execute me for the cause of Christ, Paul said it didn't matter. I stayed focused on the one thing, the course of finishing the race for God. I wonder, what's your focus? Where are you on course? Demas had just forsaken Paul. Peter quit on Jesus there in John 21 and went back fishing. Abraham lapsed in his faith when he had Ishmael. Understand tonight, today, child of God, we've got to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and stay focused on the course. I'll never forget a couple years ago, I had a friend of mine that was big into can I say Amway? Is that okay? You guys don't get nervous, all right? I'm not promoting Amway, all right? Just like I'm not promoting P90X in Sunday school or whatever else, all right? But a friend of mine was big into Amway. And he said, Steve, he said, I want you to come to a meeting. He said, let's go get pumped up, and I want you to sell Amway for me. So I was free. We were at my in-laws, so I needed an excuse to get away anyway. I went down there, all right, and man, you know how, if you've ever been to an Amway meeting or one of those meetings, you know, pyramid scheme meetings, and you know, you walk in and it's like, you know, loud music going, you know, it's like a party, you know, and then they all stand up there and they all clap, you know, it's like, man, I'm not a child anymore, all right, give me what I need, but, you know, they try to get you all amped up, pumped up, you know, and I remember they started the meeting, you know what they emphasized over and over and over? They emphasize the importance of staying the course. If you want to be at the top of the pyramid, stay the course. And don't worry what your family thinks. Don't be offended that, you know, all your close friends no longer call you anymore because you're in, you know, because you wanted them to buy 50, you know, bars of soap that still sit in your cabinet 4 years later. He said, don't worry about that. Stay the course, right? You know, what's it take to build a successful business? Stay in the course. What's it going to take for me to one day hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Stay in the course. What did it take, Paul, for you to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? The Lord was his focus. The faith is where his nose was at in the Word of God. He stayed the course. But notice again in verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. What kept Paul going? The purpose statement. He said, I'm going to fight the fight. He said, I don't care what the obstacles may be. I don't care what may be in my way. He said, man, here's the course. Here's where I'm going. He said, man, people will laugh at me. They'll beat me up. I remember when I was fourth grade, I went to a camp, Mountain View Bible Camp in Dublin, New Hampshire. And I remember we played an awesome game. It was a big old hill. And the purpose and the goal of the game was to get down the hill while the other team would stand there and they would pelt you with water balloons and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And other stuff started getting thrown. But I remember, man, there we were at the top of the hill. Here's the goal to get to the bottom of the hill. But to get to the bottom of the hill, we had to go through the gauntlet, right? And man, here comes the water balloons thrown at us. Here comes, you know, ones that don't pop and you get a black eye. I mean, you know, hey, to get to the end goal, you had to be focused. Paul said, you know what I've done? I fought the good fight. I fought the good fight. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. How can I one day hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Man, I've got to fight that fight. I got to go forward for God. I can't sit back in neutral. I can't let somebody else fight my fight for me. Listen, you can't win the battle for me. I can't win the battle for you. Together we can pray together, and then we can encourage each other. But you've got to make the choice to fight for your own. You've got to make the choice to, I'm going forward for God because I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What's it take to get the purpose statement of our life to be, I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Number one, it was the Lord. Number two, know what you believe and why you believe it with the faith. Number three, stay the course. Number four, fight the fight. But notice fifthly and lastly there in verse number six, just backing up. All right, verse 8 is his purpose statement. Verse 7, you know, describes the course he took to get there. But look in verse number 6. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul, how did you get to that point where you were able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Hear those words from Jesus. I believe fifthly and lastly, he lived like today was his last day. Paul didn't know when that day would be. He didn't know, well, I guess when he was in that ship on his way to Rome, he knew that he was going to go. God said, listen, you're going to go and preach in Rome. So he knew that. But you know, Paul, you know what Paul did? He lived every day like it was his last day. He lived with that cognizant view that this could be my last day here on this earth. I think about that reality. You know, most of us think, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are. Didn't matter if you're, I'm 32. It doesn't matter if you're 8 like Josiah, 6 like Lily, or if you're 97, all right? Everybody thinks they're going to live past tomorrow, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't wake up today thinking, man, today's my last day. This could be my, no, you know what we do? We think everybody else is going to die. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's not me. So you hear somebody dies, well, that, you know, that's what I expected. But never for me. What do? We always live with long-term goals. You know, when I turn 60, you know, I'm going to retire. My goal was to retire by 30, and then I got stuck with you guys. But, hey, what's your goal? You know, and everybody has long-term plans. This is what I want to do in the future. You know, it doesn't matter if you're, I remember my grandma a couple days before she, when I went up there a couple weeks ago, right before she passed away, you know, she was talking about getting out of the rehab center. And getting her walking back and getting out and coming down and visiting us in Huntsville. I'm like, yeah, you go, Grandma, you know. But I knew she was going down. But, you know, she still had long-term plans. You know, I'm not going to be here in the rehab. For, you know, she was going downhill, but, you know, she still had plans. You know, Paul, what allowed you to hear Jesus Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? He lived in line. He lived in light of that fact that today could be my last day. Hey, can I remind you this morning? It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hey, this could be your last day. Can I ask you? If today you were to get in your car and you were to go home and you were to die in a car wreck, would you hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Would you one day get to the end of your life and have your purpose fulfilled? Or are there things in your life right now that need to be different? Are there things in your life right now that you need to change? Hey, what did Paul say? He said, "You know what? I'm ready to go." Why? Because I did all these different things. What allowed him to get to that place where he saw his purpose is accomplished? It was the fact that he lived with the Lord in his forefront. He knew what he believed. He stayed the course. He fought the fight. And he lived like today could be his last day. Hey, can I ask you today? What's your purpose statement for life? This guy I was talking to, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I wrote out my purpose." He said, "My goal is when I die, I want people to be able to say," he wrote his obituary. He said, "I want people to say he was a great guy that loved Jesus, saw people come to Christ, discipled people. He said, I went on for God, raised a family for God." He said, "These were all these different things." He said, "I wrote my obituary. This is what I want to accomplish with my life." And then he said, "I had to put the steps in. How do I get there with my life?" How did Paul get there? He kept the Lord the focus. He kept the Bible the focus. He kept the course the focus. He kept the faith the focus. He fought the fight. And he lived like today was going to be his last day. I wonder this morning, are you going to hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, what a convicting thought this has been for me this week. Lord, what is our why? As a church, why do we do what we do? As individuals, as a family, why do we do what we do? Lord, I pray for your people. Lord, I pray that they would live with a focus on hearing you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, I pray that would be the case this morning for somebody that maybe has gotten off course, for somebody that has not had that focus. I pray, God, today that they would do business with you. God, I pray maybe they come to the old-fashioned altar and get alone with you and say, "Lord, I want to get that focus back." Lord, I pray that you would just deal in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would leave with the one purpose, the purpose statement of hearing Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Would you work in this invitation? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And just a moment, we're going to stand. But I wonder how many would say this morning, "Pastor, my purpose statement has not been the 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.' Maybe my purpose statement's been money, things, toys, myself. But you say this morning, God's really spoke to my heart. And I'm evaluating my why. Why am I here? I'm evaluating my purpose statement. You say this morning, God's really challenged me, and I need to make some changes in my life so that way one day I can hear Jesus say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.' I wonder how many of you say, 'Pastor, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I need to make changes in my life.' If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? 'Pastor, God spoke to my heart.' Good. Man, number of hands this morning. Good. Well, you know, you're the one that can make the changes. Your pastor can't. Your spouse can't. You've got to make that decision. I hope this morning you will. But I wonder, lastly, would there be one that would say, "Pastor, the Lord is not the focus of my life because I'm not his child. And I've never trusted Christ to be my Savior. Not sure this morning if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? I'm concerned about my soul." If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all, won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. "Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Here's my hand. Here's my hand." Well, Father, thank you for working in our hearts. Thank you for the number of hands that have been raised. Now, Father, help us to make changes to be more conformed to Christ. Help us, Lord, this morning to walk out different than when we came in Jesus' name.